A lot has changed since Bob's Discount Furniture opened its first store 35 years ago. Car phones have become cell phones, grunge band hits have become oldies, and you can order furniture online. But what hasn't changed is the way they do business, aka the Bob's way. Doing things the Bob's way means that when I shop at Bob's, I know I'll find the latest top-rated styles like the Aspen sofa for just $399, bedrooms with storage and charging, Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and more. All at 90s-era prices. There's even no money down financing and lightning-fast shipping, so you aren't stuck waiting months for your furniture to arrive. Plus, Bob's still makes furniture shopping fun, with friendly associates and cafes full of free treats and ice cream. Want to see for yourself? Stop into your local Bob's store this Labor Day weekend to party it up like it's 1991 and celebrate 35 years of doing things the Bob's way.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pot of thunder and rock and roll. And let's effing go. The Duff McKagan joke of the week.
Chris Jericho, Duff McKagan calling you. Hope you're doing well. Hope everybody out there is doing well. You know, the only thing flat earthers got to fear is fear itself. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Oh, my goodness. That was amazing. Or was it? But thanks to Duff calling in the jokes every Friday for decades, it seems. Never misses a week, no matter where in the world he is. And this weekend, Guns N' Roses are in Las Vegas for their summer stadium tour. And next week, they'll be up in Canada. Go see them if you have the chance. And come see Quarantine. We've got a few dates left this year so far. September 20th at the Joyland Country Music Nightclub in Bradenton, Florida. And of course, we're doing the Kiss Cruise Landlocked in Vegas. We're playing November 15th at the Virgin Hotel. Paul and Gene personally invited us back, which is amazing. Quarantine.com, all ticket and VIP information. And our new single, Rise to It, from Kiss's studio record, Hot in the Shade, all the way back from 1989. We just released it a few weeks ago, and it is amazing. Go check that out. And Fozzy's I Know Evil just hit the top 20 on mainstream rock radio, which is great. And our Odds and Sods tour is getting ready to roll as well. One gig a month till the end of the year, September 24th in West Springfield at the Big E State Fair, October 4th in Baltimore at the Baltimore Ravens Tailgoat Party, September 7th to the 11th on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, 7th cruise of a 7th cruise. Actually, Quarantine's playing on that as well. And December 4th in Mexico City, for the first time ever, we're making our Mexico debut. Can't wait to rock south of the border. All ticket and VIP information at FozzyRock.com. And also the brand new video for I Know Evil is almost at 1 million views on YouTube. Thanks to everyone who's already checked it out. And if you haven't, what are you waiting for? Go watch it now. All right. Today, Insane Clown Posse's Violent J is back after many, many years. And we're going deep inside the wild world and the history of Juggalo Championship Wrestling. Violent J reveals how JCW went from wrestling strictly for Juggalos and ICP fans to a promotion that's getting some serious attention from the wrestling world. 26 years they've been running now, which is great. He explains how and why he brought Vince Russo into the creative mix and what they butt heads about when it comes to storytelling. Jay describes how characters like Cocaine, Mr. 50s, Mr. Happy, and The Outbreak actually came to life. Mr. 50s is great. He's hilarious if you haven't seen that guy. He's also got some absolutely insane gathering of the Juggalos stories involving Tila Tequila, remember her, Ultimo Dragon, Roddy Piper, Terry Funk, Mick Foley, Jake the Snake. And all of this leads right into Bloody Mania 19 at tonight's Gathering of the Juggalos in Max Creek, Missouri. It's basically JCW's WrestleMania with thousands in attendance. Jay previews the card involving the Juggalo World Order. Gail Kim is special guest referee and matches involving James Storm, Mr. Anderson, Kerry Morton, and Caleb Conley. Violent J is fired up. JCW is on a roll, and you're about to find out why right here, right now on Talk is Jericho. We are here with the returning Violent J. And first and foremost, congratulations, man, on all the success that you've had with JCW over the last few years and for surviving 25 years. That's an incredible accomplishment, man.
Yeah, I got to admit, it feels pretty great, but it wasn't always as consistent and as current as it is now. You know what I mean? We did have some, but I will say this, on our worst years, there was always at least four shows,
right,
on our lowest active years, you know?
You mentioned that it's more consistent now, but if you did start, you know, 25, 26 years ago. And even if it was just four shows a year, you guys are just figuring out what to do and how to make it work and how to make it go, and didn't give up on it, which is the most important thing, especially in this business. That's a very, very hard thing to accomplish.
When JCW started, it was just something for ICP's music fans.
Right.
For Juggalos, by Juggalos type of thing. We never had any interest in breaking through to the mainstream wrestling audience. We never had any interest in appealing to wrestling fans outside of the Juggalo world. You know what I mean? The product was unique.
Right.
A unique taste. It wasn't for everybody at all. You know what I'm saying? Right. It was very wild style. But we did that for a while. That's why when we started, the name was Juggalo Champion Shit Wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
We were doing some really wild things. But eventually, probably about 3 years into it, we said, man, let's change it to Championship. And let's have some more serious shows, you know? What really happened was, after doing it like that, there were some times where we were really active. And we were doing big things. But no matter what we were doing, because we had dug at our own niche and took our own route, we were just not seen by the wrestling world. No matter what we were doing or how impressive it was not seen at all.
Right.
We were an independent company touring coast to coast, twice, three times a year, doing these big tours and drawing numbers. And I'm not talking about always playing with ICP. I'm talking about JCW tours, you know, way more than the independents. And, you know, there was a time it was just Ring of Honor and us, you know, TNA and WWE, and that was it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything else was like regional, you know what I mean? But we were out there and we just didn't count, you know? So what happened was we took a lull, we took a break. We both stepped away from the world of wrestling for a while. And we even had somebody else running JCW for us. Probably about 3 years after that, 4 years, when I came back around, I looked at how far independent wrestling had come in America. And man, there were companies everywhere now doing real numbers, drawing people, you know, making money and drawing houses. And it was like, whoa, look at all this that's changed.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be a regional company, but still have fans around the world watching your product. You know what I mean? And so much had changed, and we were so ingrained in our own Juggalo world. We paid no attention to what was happening and the changes that were happening in wrestling, you know? So when we finally dug our head out of that ground hole mole or whatever, we looked around and we were like, damn, look at this. Independents are huge now. They're everywhere. They're running pay-per-views. And I remember we were the only ones doing like a weekly live stream. There was like nearly nobody doing that on the internet, and we were doing it. But now it was everywhere. And so I kind of got the bug again. And the first thing I did was, my buddy Vampiro was in Billy Corgan's NWA.
Right.
And so I called him. I said, hey, man, can you get me in there? You know, tell him I'll come in for free, you know, because Shaggy didn't want to wrestle no more. He didn't want to do anything. He hurt his neck really bad. And so they let me come in and manage a team called the Brothers of Funstruction in NWA. And when I saw the operation, I was like, this is no bigger than what we've been doing for years. I'm talking about the technical side of it, the production.
Right.
Everything. I was just I was like, this is exactly what we've been doing. Yet these guys are written about in the internet wrestling community everywhere, and YouTubers are reviewing their shows and all this stuff. And I'm like, why are we so hidden and ignored? And we're basically the same size operation. You know what I mean?
Right.
So from after being in NWA for a couple months, I did a shot with MLW, and I studied. And I was really blown away by those guys. But it was very similar things, the way they're doing their pre-tapes and everything. And I started to get really, really the bug to want to do this and jump in this game and take it serious, you know? So then I went to GCW. And these guys are very active. They're running two shows every weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're everywhere, coast to coast, you know, Japan, all of this, you know? And they're hungry and they're killing it. And I was like, yes, I became very cool with Brett Lauderdale, you know? And he was helping me so much, teaching me everything. I even did a shot with AAA. And I did my retirement match in Japan, you know, for Big Japan. Then I came back and I was like, it's time to kick ass. Mm-hmm. Let's do this for real. And something else happened. I had heart failure. So we decided not to tour like we've been touring. You know, we decided not to pound the pavement four times a year.
As ICP?
Yeah, yeah. We didn't want to keep doing it. We did it so many times. You know, it's just like, we didn't need to do it like that. You know, we wanted to focus more on playing festivals mm-hmm. and not touring at that pace anymore, man. You know, getting in that bus for 2 or 3 months at a time, 2 or 3 times a year, just every year, you know, for what?
Yeah.
So we tore our touring schedule down for ICP, and that opened up all this time to focus on JCW, you know. I met with the guys at Psychopathic, my manager and our partners in there, and we said, let's do this for real. And we set a realistic goal, and we don't fail our goals. Psychopathic and ICP don't fail our goals. We always achieve them because they're reasonable. They're not out of the stratosphere. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And our goal was just to make JCW self-sufficient so that it pays its bills and that it's respected in the wrestling world. It has fans that are not juggalos. It has fans that don't even listen to anything about with ICP, but they love JCW. A significant amount of fans like that. That was our goal. We just started pounding it in, man. And we've been relentless now for the last 2 years. We started a weekly show called Lunacy on YouTube. We started touring JCW. We started bringing JCW on the road with ICP. We're coming up on our 96th episode.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and we're killing it. It's absolutely positively working, you know. And we set our mind to it, and we knew it's not going to be easy.
Right.
And it's not going to be cheap, Chris. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not going to be cheap.
Let me ask you this, Jay. Let me ask you this before we continue, because you said a lot of stuff there. Do you think at first JCW wasn't getting the respect or getting the acknowledgement, shall we say, because you guys were the promoters? So they maybe didn't think it was serious or something like that?
I mean, I totally understand why we weren't getting it. First of all, it's a heavily acquired taste, all right? Second of all, Slipknot's fans are called maggots, right?
Yeah.
I love Slipknot, but I'm not necessarily a Slipknot musical fan, right? If Slipknot opened Maggot Championship Wrestling, I would feel like there's things going on that I don't understand. You know what
right.
I mean?
It's not
for me. So naturally, when something's called Juggalo Championship Wrestling, the masses are going to assume that is not for me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's stuff going on there. You know, and we thought about changing the name even, but then we said we can never do that. But we can try to make people realize that the word juggalo is no different than renegade or outlaw,
right?
Misfit championship wrestling. You know, it just is, it's a little more directed, but it just means wild style.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we stuck with the name, but we really, really focused on having a show that doesn't only pertain to juggalos. It's not all juggalo related angles and things that non-juggalos don't understand, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we decided, instead of being for juggalos by juggalos, we want to show the wrestling world of today how good of a promotion us juggalos can put on.
Yeah, you want to make it more accessible and more appealing to the, you know, the mainstream wrestling fans.
To everybody.
Yeah.
You know, you could hate ICP. That's totally fine. You might love JCW.
Well, it's similar kind of to what we went through with Fozzy for years, where people didn't take it quite as seriously because I was the singer. So you almost had to work twice as hard to get the respect. And then once you get it, people are in and they're invested in it. And I feel that's kind of what JCW has. You have a lot of fans that have been there from the start that were saying, no, you got to check these guys out. This is legit stuff. And now they feel vindicated.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. I knew when you guys first came out, you had that struggle ahead of you.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Because it's a lot like us in wrestling.
Yes.
We're not going to be taken seriously. And admittedly, we weren't in the WWE or WCW because we were bomb-ass wrestlers.
Yeah.
We were there because of our rap career, you know what I mean? So, but we wanted to earn it in the world of wrestling, you know? And a lot of things changed for us over the years where we used to be the most hated band in the world. Time kind of just took that away. It's like a new generation now, and it's really not all that hate for us, and people are more open-minded toward us, you know? And it's just totally different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I can give you a real quick example that I always give, but it's the best example in the world. When we were in the 90s, we were easily the most hated band in the world. Every time we did a festival, it would be all middle fingers and shit flying at the stage, you know, everybody hating it, and maybe 500 to 1,000 juggalos up front screaming, yeah! And the rest of the crowd would just be like, fuck you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was our experience every time we ever played a festival. So we stopped. We stopped, and we went into our own world. Years and years and years later, it was 2017, and Vanilla Ice came to Detroit, and he called us, and he said, hey, man, I'm playing Pine Knob. It's sold out. I want to bring you guys out for a song tonight. And we said, brother, you don't want us on that stage, man. You got a good thing going, man. This 90s nostalgia tour you're doing. You don't want us out there. It's just going to be a bunch of booze and shit. And he was like, I don't care. Come on, you know. And when we hit that stage, man, that place erupted. And we looked at each other like, what the happened? And I think what happened is we were so underground, we created this lore about us that nobody wants to come see it on their own. They're not going to come to one of our concerts. But to see us in their world, in a safety of a festival or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is really cool. It's like, damn, that's them. I've been hearing about them for years, you know. There they are, you know. And they're not going to come see us. But to see us in their environment is totally cool, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And so we've been having great success with festivals now to where it used to be a nightmare.
Right.
And it's the exact opposite now. And all of this changes is what made us feel more and more confident about JCW. It's like today's world doesn't hate us the way they used to, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe JCW could be taken seriously if we give it a serious, you know, remake and give it and make it a serious product, you know? And that's what we've done now. And I'm having, honestly, Chris, I'm having a time of my life, brother.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
So what was your game plan to make it more serious then? Because we know some of the stuff you've done, but kind of talk about how you got there.
I guess the number one focus would be something for everybody.
Yeah.
We're looking at GCW. There's so many death matches. You look at Ring of Honor, you know, every match is like, and even AEW sometimes, every match sometimes can be 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
Hard hitting wrestling, amazing athletic. One of the things I feel like is missing a lot is storytelling, storylines, you know what I mean? And I've always been a huge fan of that.
Yeah.
So we really focus to give a little bit of everything. So no matter what kind of fan you are, when you watch that show, there's going to be something you're going to pop for because the variety is that much. We try to include it all, you know, we try to respect it, but at the same time, it's not to be taken too seriously. It's still wild.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very wild. It's something for you and your friends to laugh at and have fun and not to be taken seriously, you know, but it's still entertainment. Just like ICP. I mean, I got face paint on all the time.
Right.
JCW is the same way. We're trying to entertain the hell out of you, man, in any way we can. And that's what we've been doing, man. And we wanted to bring back storytelling. I wanted characters. I wanted outrageous characters. You know, I was always a fan of gimmicks and outrageous gimmicks, you know what I mean? And we wanted to have gimmicks on top of gimmicks. And I feel like we've been achieving that, you know? We had a guy named Mr. 50s who
yeah
wears like gray paint over all his skin.
Yeah, yeah, with the hat.
And he looks like he's in a black and white
fedora.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hat and everything. And his dialogue is all 50s style. Hey, Dame, I'll tell you, and he did such a masterful job, you know. We just had so many cool gimmicks like that, you know. It just became fun, and it's a colorful product. It's fast paced. I will admit that it's fast. You know, matches are usually 8 minutes or 10 minutes. You know, and there's so many vignettes. Some people consider it a TV show that focuses around wrestling, almost like a sitcom built around wrestling.
So talk about how you got involved with Vince Russo, because I would assume a lot of the vignettes are coming with your relationship with him as the head writer or one of the head writers.
Yeah, we started, you know, we're bringing guys in to pop the views on YouTube, and we're like, these guys are getting views, these guys are getting views. And I'm just brainstorming, what is really going to move that number, though, and keep it moved? Who's going to come in? Because when somebody comes in, it's an immediate pop at first, but then once you get used to what they're doing, it can dwindle down, you know.
Sure.
But if you want to really make an impact on the whole company as a change, how can we do that? And I went to the top first. I didn't think we'd be able to land Vince Russo, but every time we do something like that, just like in music, if we're going to do a collab with somebody, we go right to the top star. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It get turned down from there, you know?
Yeah.
So we just started talking to Vince and talking to Vince, and months were going by, and we're talking to him, and I'm begging him to watch the shows, and watch the shows, brother, watch the shows. Cause I knew he had wild style ideas, and he was a guy that brought us into WWE when we first went in there. And he also brought us into WCW.
Right.
And so we knew him and we had a history with him. I knew the controversy. And the number one thing is people are going to have to look. It's like, you can diss Vince Russo all you want, but you're going to watch. You're going to have to see what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whether it's to sincerely love it or tear it to shreds online or whatever, you're going to watch. You know what I mean? Especially as when he's been gone as long as he has. But man, I'll tell you what, the one thing I didn't expect was to genuinely get to understand Vince Russo as the human being. And I really like the guy, man.
Yeah.
He's a very emotional dude. He presents himself as hard and everything, but he's an emotional dude. And I love the guy, man. I really do. Like I've grown really close to him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot in common, and together we're like a mega power. The one thing I got to say, man, is in 25 years, we've never had a roster like we have. Like, you can feel the floor rumbling in that dressing room. Like, everybody feels like this is going to pop. This is going to hit TV. This is going to get a deal somewhere. This is going to become really big. Like, you can feel it. It's like an energy in the air. Like, we can feel this thing is rumbling. Like, and it's growing all the time. That's the coolest thing about JCW, is it's so easy to keep blowing every dime I've ever made, because it's constantly growing and you want to see how far it's going to grow.
Sure.
If it was just stagnant, it would be depressing. You know what I mean? But we keep opening new doors, and every month that goes by, the company is bigger and better in some way. And so as the months go by, it's becoming bigger and better and more impressive. And Vince Russo was a major part of that, brother. When he came in, everybody got super excited. He has a way of looking at your top stars and your mid-carders and your low guys and just mixing them up like a snow globe. And suddenly guys are getting an opportunity you never thought they would, and they're shining. They're taking advantage of it, you know what I mean? And they're shining. And man, to see characters grow in JCW has been the most rewarding thing. Okay, like Caleb Conley, for example. I know he's been everywhere. He's a great, super talented wrestler. But the Caleb Conley of today, after 2 years in JCW, is a whole nother beast. And to see that change develop, and to see his promos and his character develop is so fucking exciting. And to know it happened in JCW. The same thing with Big Al. And so many of our wrestlers, they came in, they were great, but now they're phenomenal. And it's just been the most rewarding part of this whole thing. And Vince has the best way of doing that, of giving everybody a turn. There's not guys that are always on top. It's constantly rotating and revolving. And everybody's going to get a turn to shine. It's really cool the way he writes, man.
So when he first came in, you guys sit down together and come up with like a month of TV or 2 months of TV? Kind of what kind of planning did you guys do when you first started working together in JCW?
The hardest thing, brother, when I was 13 years old, me and Shaggy had a ring built in the backyard, you know?
Yeah.
And I was writing storylines, you know, for our backyard promotion. I actually have the programs. They're photocopied and stapled together, and they're all written with a pencil, and there's storylines going on. I was writing storylines since I was 13 and 14. So I've done this my entire life, right?
Right.
So it was not easy to surrender all that over to Vince when he came in. we would butt heads, and then it would be super cool. Then we'd butt heads, and it was super cool. And he would just say, just trust me, just trust me. And all of a sudden our viewership just started going and going and going. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And more stuff was online about us and more shows doing reviews and recaps and all this stuff, you know what I mean? From wrestling fans, from non-juggalos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Dave Meltzer and them writing about us and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, so I had to learn to surrender that. I had to learn. It wasn't easy, but once I did it was great because I'm genuinely, genuinely a fan of everything he's writing. And when I'm not, I stand up and I challenge him on it.
Right.
I say, this is too much, Vince. This doesn't make sense to me, you know? And if it's not making sense to me, I have to feel like it's not going to make sense to other people. You know what I mean? And he'll fight it. And then we'll be like, well, let's just try something else. If we can't come up with anything better, we'll do that, you know? So I'll challenge him on things. I'll tell you one thing. Talking on the phone is much easier than texting.
Of course.
What the heck is going on with all these promotional popcorn buckets? The giant shorts that all of Gen Z is wearing now? And whatever the heck Hyrox is? I'm comedian and certified hater Matt Belisai, and these are the types of questions I'm demanding answers to on my podcast, What the Heck with Matt Belisai. Listen or watch every Thursday as I rant about all the internet trends, pop culture stories, and personal mayhem that makes me scream, What the Heck? Follow What the Heck with Matt Belisai wherever you get your podcasts.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grunes. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
So when did you decide to do kind of a weekly television program? You mentioned on YouTube and Lunacy having 96 episodes, because that's something that really helps too when people know where they can come watch your show. It's consistent. It's every week. So kind of what was the mindset and how did you come up with the idea to do it on YouTube?
I mean, honestly, that's my number one advice to anybody trying to open a promotion. My first advice would be don't do it. Unless you got crazy money. You need a platform. You need a show. There's guys like GCW, right? And MLW for a long time. And even NWA for a while. They were just running events. It'd be a full card all the time. And that's cool. But to me, the best way to present your characters and your storylines is a TV show where you can do recaps. And last week on Lunacy.
Yes.
And consistency is very important, man. You've got to keep the shows coming, man. You got to keep the shows coming so people become invested and they know that that's what they're doing Thursday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Having a TV show, Thursdays are my favorite because I love to sit and watch the show. And even though I sit there and edit it all week and do all that and make the changes with Jeff, my editing guy, when I watch it for the first time, it's just like when your album comes out, Chris. You know, when you guys are in a studio working on an album for months, right?
Yeah.
And once it's handed in and you can't tweak it no more, and you actually have that pressed version, that's when you really hear it for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Because you can't go back and make any changes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's out now. Everybody's hearing this, you know? So you hear the mistakes. Damn, why didn't I catch that? That's what it's like every Thursday. Once it hits the public, you know, there's no more changing it. And it's like watching the show for the first time. And
yes,
Thursdays are my favorite, man. I love to watch Lunacy. I love to read the message boards when it's playing. you know, when something cool happens, it scrolls by super quick. It's just become a one of my favorite hobbies, you know?
It's cool because once again, too, like you can go, like if it was 10 years ago, you'd have to beat the bushes and try and find some kind of a television outlet or channel or platform. But now you don't need that. Like you said, you can do it yourself on YouTube. I'm surprised more people don't do that. But once again, you have to have the consistency. You have to have the flow where people know where to go. But it's a very smart idea to do it on YouTube because everybody can access it.
I'll tell you what, man. People fight and fight and fight to get on smaller platforms. And I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Everybody and their mom has YouTube.
Yes.
It's like, why would you want to go on some app that very few people have? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Everybody's got YouTube on their phone, on everything, you know? So to me, it's just the best place to be. But of course, you know, we want to get on TV. We want to get a network deal. We want to get somebody to pay us for the episode. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's definitely the main goal. You know, when you're starting out and you want eyes on your product, you know, as far as modern day, YouTube is TV.
Yeah.
I only watch YouTube myself at home. I don't really watch TV anymore. You know what I mean?
How do you monetize that then, Jay? Like, I mean, obviously you have the live gates, you've got merch, that sort of thing. Is there a way you can start and be able to make a little money off the YouTube views?
Yeah, because, you know, we're the episodes are growing. And when it comes out, you look at the views, right? See what you did that week. Mm-hmm. Then you walk away from it, you know. But you come back 2 or 3 months later, you're like, damn, look at all those views. You know what I mean? Like right. They grow all the time. And the number of product you're putting out there, you know. And the more product you put out there, like, in other words, my boy Jeff Lane, he'll take a match from that week's episode and just post that on YouTube.
Right.
And the more content you keep flooding YouTube with, those are all steady gaining views as years go by, you know. And so, yeah, we're just starting to make some money on YouTube, and it's extremely helpful. But, yeah, the way it's all set up and actually done, I know there's tactics and there's ways to do it and make it more profitable than other ways. But I don't have anything to do with that. You know, I'm just the guy that writes the characters and comes up with cool finishes.
Let's talk about your roster and the characters and some of the homegrown gimmicks that you've come up with, because I would assume one of the hardest things is just having a roster that's available at all times, because I know you have to get, you know, guys from other places and that sort of a thing. But you also have a lot of homegrown talent you've created on your own.
Yeah, that's one of the coolest things about JCW is the homegrown talent. Because when ECW came around, that's exactly what that was.
Right.
So much homegrown talent, you know, great, entertaining, awesome talent that I myself had never heard of before ECW. ECW was where I learned all that talent.
Right.
And names are always valuable to come in and draw interest. But, man, growing your own talent, and it is super hard to do on independents because guys are taking other bookings.
Yes.
So we had to pretty much set our whole bookings out for an entire year and give it to all the guys and say, look, these are our dates. Don't take bookings on these dates.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
A lot of our guys are homegrown. They're gimmicks that I created. Like, for example, Cocaine, right?
Yeah, let's talk about that. I love Cocaine.
He's one of my favorites. He started out, you remember everybody was talking about an independent wrestler in Europe called Blue Kane?
Yes, he was like the Kane, the monster from WWE, but he was all blue.
Blue, right.
Yeah.
So we started playing with that idea, and we first brought in Pink Kane, right? just as a kind of joke on all that, you know, the Canes.
Right.
Then the storyline was we received a cease and desist. So then we came out as Yellow Kane. And then when we got the white, he just came out as Cocaine, you know what I'm saying? And it went viral, you know? So then we really did get a cease and desist. So we had to change the look up and change the spelling up and everything. But Cocaine is another example of a guy who's come so far, whose character has developed over the years so phenomenally well, man. He shines in JCW. The minute his music hits, the crowd pops, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just so cool to have that kind of attention from the fans where they actually know those music. It's like a mini WWE sometimes, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's very cool, exciting to see it all work and firing on all cylinders, you know? And a lot of the talent wasn't homegrown, but it was phenomenal in its own. For example, Luigi Primo.
Yeah.
You know, he's with the pizza.
Yeah.
The pizza dough. That is the most phenomenal gimmick ever. He's swinging the pizza dough around. He has it an entire match. You know what I mean? He's flipping the pizza throughout the whole match. We saw that guy. We were like, we got to get that guy.
Yeah.
And then you have the Brothers of Funstruction, who a lot of people think they're homegrown in JCW, but no, those guys created themselves 100%. It's hard to explain because they're not this kind of clown.
Mm-hmm.
They're like hobo clowns, I guess. You know what I'm saying? If that makes any sense.
Right.
But they do all the gags in the ring where the guy throws him into the ropes and then his hand keeps coming out of his sleeve. It's like, what the hell? You know, the flower squirting on the guy. Just super stupid, funny gimmicks they do, you know. They're geniuses at what they do, you know. Man, and we've got Congo Kong. Oh, we got Mr. Happy, 665-pound Mr. Happy.
Wow.
He looks, he's got a mask that looks like a happy emoji.
Yeah.
And he's massive. And he gets his feelings hurt in the ring, and he cries sometimes. Just really, really outrageous stuff, man. And we have a lot of fun with it. And then we got the Outbreak. These guys are zombies. When I say zombies, I don't mean like the ECW zombie, brother. I mean like out of the Walking Dead zombies.
Gotcha.
They got the makeup on of their body and their face and the contacts in, and they're really zombies. And they get in the ring and they're phenomenal wrestlers. It's like nothing. I remember because I saw them on a show in Memphis and they were doing a vampire gimmick. It was two brothers. They were both thin and they had long hair and they were pale. And they were doing a vampire gimmick, and they had an incredibly gifted manager named Barnabas, who was like a carnival barker from the 1800s.
Yeah.
I said, that's going to be in JCW, but we changed it to zombies. And I'll never forget the first time they came out, man. I was sitting behind the monitor. The fog hit, and they came out, and I just never, ever expected it to be that good. And I was screaming behind the monitor, so thrilled by how good these guys did. And they were so appreciative for the break. Thank you for giving us a shot. Thank you. And it's mutual.
Sure.
I'm like, man, thank you. Look at how much heart you guys put into every match with all that makeup and everything. It's unbelievable, you know? And we just have the most beautiful camaraderie in that locker room. It really is a family.
Yeah.
It really, really is, man. They even bought me, I'm well up in this bitch. They even bought me a lunacy gym suit. You know, I walked in and everybody was wearing them. And I'm like, I looked at my guy and I said, did we get these for everybody? And they were like, no, they all got them. And they got you one. 25 years, I've never had anything like that happen. It's a beautiful locker room. And it's usually the first thing anybody who comes for the first time, they say, man, it's really something special back here, man. And that's what I'm most proud of.
How would you like to live in a home where the floors are always clean? Now you can with Matic, the first intuitive cleaning robot designed and assembled in America for families like yours. Matic sees your home the way you do, so it cleans the way you would. Precise visual navigation means it moves gracefully through real lived-in spaces and almost never gets stuck. Its visual intelligence means you can point at a mess and say, Matic, clean this. Matic also understands over 75 languages, so anyone can use it just by talking to it, even the kids and the grandparents. Nobody has to learn another app. It vacuums and mops daily. It's quiet enough to run at night and can clean in the dark, so you can wake up to clean floors. Matic is rated 4.9 out of 5 by the families who own it. To get your Matic, go to maticrobots.com. That's maticrobots.com, and get a year's supply of free HEPA bags with your purchase today. Go to maticrobots.com/odyssey, a $96 value at no cost to you. That's maticrobots.com/AUDACY.
So what? How often do you run shows then, Jay?
Enough that there's a show every week. So probably three shows a month.
Gotcha. You do your television tapings through that.
Yeah. Sometimes we do a double where we film two shows, but we don't like to do that because I feel like it tires the crowd out.
What, do too many shows at once?
Yeah, if you do two episodes in one taping,
gotcha.
It feels like it tires the crowd out. Plus, the venue looks the same 2 weeks in a row on TV, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really like that. What we'll do is we'll do the three shows right next to each other. So the guys will come in and we'll do Detroit. Then the next night we'll do Lansing. Then the next night we'll do Saginaw.
Gotcha.
It'll be like a little mini tour. And then sometimes if ICP is only going out for like 10 shows in a row, we'll bring JCW on the whole run. We'll end up filming 2 months of TV on that one run.
Let's talk about the Gathering. I mean, I've heard about the Gathering for years. I think Fozzie almost played it a couple of times. It just never really worked out. But this was always kind of like JCW's WrestleMania in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And there's been some crazy stories from it. Let's talk about some of the crazy ones before this kind of modern era. Because I remember the Tila Tequila story.
Yeah.
Start with that one and then give us some of the crazier ones that have happened over the years.
You know, we never know what's going to work and what's not. Sometimes the juggalos just zone in on something they don't want.
Right.
And I guess Tila Tequila was posting things and spelling clown with a K. And the juggalos didn't like that. You know what I mean? we don't do that.
Right.
They were just like, she's going to get it, you know. And we told her, it's not looking good for you. You don't have to play. You know what I mean? And she was like, no, I'm going to play. You know what I mean? So she went out there and the shit started flying. And then she said, I don't remember what she said, but she took her top off and went topless and figured that'll fix the problem. But then it just got worse. And Shaggy had to run out on stage and try to get everybody stopped. It was brutal, man. It was brutal. I've seen some of my absolute heroes get booed off stage, man. I really have. It's usually for something that tells the crowd this artist don't know where they're playing.
Right.
Like, in other words, if the Gathering that year is outside of Cleveland, something, you know, it's like a half hour outside of Cleveland somewhere, and the artist gets up there and they're like, Cleveland, you know, not aware that these juggalos have come from all over the country and all over the world for the Gathering, you know what I mean?
Right.
And only a small percentage are actually from Cleveland. If they're doing things like that, juggalos feel disrespected. They feel like this guy should know where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
That's when things go bad. And there's been plenty of times where I've been like, no. And they used to throw shit at wrestling, but we finally said something one year. And now every time something flies toward the ring, all the juggalos chant, don't throw shit. Don't throw shit. You know, we finally went out there and we said, look, man, when you're throwing shit, the ring gets wet. The ropes are wet. Nobody can perform their moves. They're going to get hurt. Is that what you want to see, is a shittier show just so you can throw shit?
Right.
It ain't worth it, you know? And once we did that, it kind of stopped, you know? But before we did that, I'll never forget one year we had Ultimo Dragon. And I hate this story because I've always been such a fan of Ultimo Dragon, you know?
Yeah.
And he's got this super fantastic gear, glitter everywhere, ribbons and bows and shiny things. And, man, he got this silver, shiny, glistening robe and everything. He goes up to the top rope and a big gulp just smacks him right in the face, you know? And I was like, no, and I just wanted to kill somebody, you know what I mean? And you don't know how to handle that. You're so angry, but you can't show anger towards your fans.
Yeah.
But you are. Whoever was that lame.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's a mellower audience today, and you don't see that as much. Nobody's been booed off stage in a few years now at the Gathering, unless I'm forgetting somebody. But, yeah, I think it's become so notorious now that every band playing it knows what it is.
Right.
So we don't really run into that problem anymore.
Who are the top stars for you right now in JCW?
Caleb Conley.
Yeah.
Hands down. Vince brought one team in from somewhere he used to, he's from Colorado.
Yeah.
And his tag team is from Colorado, and they're called Choppa City. And when he first brought them in, I was like, do we really need another tag team? But those guys got over instantly, and they're super funny and super charismatic, and they become my favorites. You know, several characters. We have a character called Hocaine, which is a stalker of cocaine, right? She's a female stalker. She wears like his gear, and she was front row all the time, you know. One day, Cocaine hugged somebody in the ring, hugged one of the female wrestlers. Then she had a vendetta against that wrestler. You know what I mean? And and she's one of my favorite characters. I never thought that character would evolve the way it has.
Right.
Barnabas and the Outbreak, the zombie guys are, you know, it's just full of my favorite characters. It really is, man. There's really not many I don't like.
Right.
We have a character, Shane Mercer, you know, he's been around for many years, right? What we do with Shane Mercer, I think, is just awesome. He's the mercenary. He's for hire. If you need an advantage in a match, you can hire Shane Mercer. He's totally neutral. Mm. He's not a good guy. He's not a bad guy. He don't have any friends. If you need a partner, he'll tag with you. But if you win the belts, he's not going to stick with you unless you pay him again. He's a totally neutral mercenary, and he'll help you jump somebody backstage. He'll help you do a run-in. He'll cripple somebody before your match. Whatever it is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's just such a cool character, because when he comes out, everybody knows what's up.
Yeah.
You just don't know who hired him yet until the end of the match, when whoever hired him always pulls out the knot of money and gives it to him. You know what I mean?
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You've had a lot of kind of legends that you've brought in. I'm sure some of them were your heroes from when you were a kid. Any memories of those guys? Because there's been a lot of them.
I'll keep it real. You know, the Gathering is a night event. The main stage doesn't end until midnight. Mm-hmm. And that's really when the grounds come alive.
Right.
So wrestling doesn't even start until 1 a.m. And we've had, Chris, some of the biggest legend shows. I am such a huge fan of Legends, right? Legends Wrestling.
Yeah.
And I study legend shows. I look for them. I seek them out. Most of them are just conventions, but active legends wrestling in the ring, that is my shit.
Yeah.
And we had what I believe to be the biggest Legends Wrestling show in history, with the meaning the number of active competitors.
Mm-hmm.
There was only like 2 singles matches on the entire card because we had to make room for all of these legends. And it was called Legends and Icons. And it's on YouTube right now. And they compare it to that show where Jake the Snake was drunk and pulled the snake out at the end.
Yeah.
What was that show called?
I don't remember, but yeah, he pulled out a snake and used it as if it was his cock.
They compare Legends, JCW's Legends and Icons, to that show because it was just a train wreck. But it was a spectacle, man. It was a spectacle.
Who was on the show and what happened to make a train wreck?
Okay, like, I don't want to badmouth guys, but like, I remember I gave Ronnie Garvin $500 extra to bleach his hair blonde.
Yeah.
And he came in, he didn't even have gear. Now, not only did he not bleach his hair, he didn't even have gear. Just went out there, same thing he stepped off the plane on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The number of guys, man, Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, Austin Idol, Dutch Mantel, Tito Santana, Greg the Hammer Valentine. They opened the show in a steel cage match. Kamala. The main event was Roddy Piper and Cowboy Bob Orton versus Terry Funk and Mick Foley.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it just went, oh, we had like a ECW battle royal or like a Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
It was like eight ECW stars. I'm sorry. Ravens, Sandman, you know what I mean? All of them. It was just incredible. And we had Bill Apter running around doing interviews at 4 a.m. We had the Hardy Boys. We had, it just goes on and on and on, brother. And we had quite a few of them. We had like 3 different legend shows like that, man.
That's amazing. As we start to wind down, Jay, what's the plan now to expand JCW? Because you've done such a great job, as we mentioned at the beginning of this show, over the last couple of years in just building the brand so well. What's the next step?
I just want to try to continue to gain attention. When somebody takes time of their life to check something out, I appreciate that, man, sincerely. Mm-hmm. Severely and dearly. And that's what we want. We want people to check it out, give it a shot, man, and with an open mind.
Right.
And that's where we're going to continue to strive for is, you know, whether it's word of mouth, whether it's doing stuff like this, which I'm extremely grateful for.
Of course.
For having me on here to run my fat mouth. But yeah, brother, we just want to continue to grow and let these guys entertain, man. And we want to entertain people. We want to make them laugh. I didn't want to give anything away, but we got some more outrageous characters coming in. And this weekend is actually Bloody Mania 19 from the Gathering of the Juggalos. And this year we're in Missouri. What city in Missouri?
Max Creek.
Yes. Yeah. Dang, you knew.
I got you, man. And so this is this year's big show, The Gathering.
Yep.
Okay. So what do we have on the show for some of the bigger matches?
Well, we got the main event, which is the JWO, which is the Juggalo World Order.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Shaggy manage that five-man team, which is Too Tough Tony, Willie Mack, the Brothers of Funstruction, and EC3.
Mm-hmm.
And they are taking on, they're called the Luciano family. Sally Boy, Vincenzo, Donovan Dijak, Cruel, and Big Vito.
Big Vito!
There's four poles, a pole on each corner, and there's a weapon hanging from each pole. You know, Vince loves to have those pole matches.
Yeah, of course.
And we've also got Danny Moe, the women's champion, taking on mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan with Gail Kim as a special guest referee, which is really cool.
That's cool.
The Brothers of Funstruction. Oh, yeah, they're in that match. We got the Outbreak taking on Chopper City, which is really cool. And we've got Kerry Morton taking on Caleb Conley. And so we got a doozy, man. It's like seven or eight matches, and it's going to be spectacular.
That's amazing, man. It's so cool that you created this event. It's like, you know, it's like a Super Bowl type thing. Every single year, people know it's going to be fun and exciting and be ready to go, you know?
Yeah, man. It's absolutely our Super Bowl. It's our WrestleMania. It's all of that. Oh, and one more match. We've got Cocaine teaming with James Storm against Mr. Anderson and Stephen Flo. I just forgot that match, but I wanted to mention that.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, like I said, it's great to see the growth that you've had, man, and congratulations on everything. Last question for you. Is there a famous match for you, your favorite match in GCW history, one that stands out the most?
We have two guys, Too Tough Tony and Willie Mack. They're like best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Tony had won the world title, and Willie Mack got a title shot. So they started out super fair. Everything was cool. Then hands started flying, and it got really brutal. And at the end, the whole locker room had to divide them.
Yeah.
And then the crowd just kept chanting family until they finally came back together and hugged it out. That was awesome, brother. That was deep.
Well, dude, like I said, congratulations on building this promotion and being bigger than ever after 25 years. That's a pretty rare thing. So looking forward to seeing what you can come up with and how you continue to build over the next few years.
Brother, thank you for having me again. And congratulations to you on all your crazy amounts of success. Your cruise is off the chain. Everything you do is off the chain, brother. You're a man of mystery. You're a man of intrigue. And you're a man of excitement. Every move you make causes waves of excitement. And most of all, congratulations on seriously breaking the music world, brother, and being taken seriously and being a success in two entirely different worlds and not using one to piggyback off the other.
That's the secret, right?
Yeah, man.
Well, I appreciate that, man. That's very cool.
Congratulations, brother. For real, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And look up for The Gathering, man. Here it comes.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop.
I've realized lately that the products I use every single morning genuinely affect how I feel for the rest of the day. If something feels heavy, greasy, overly makeup-y, or complicated, I just stop reaching for it. That's why I've been loving Primally Pure's new Sun Serum Tinted SPF. It gives mineral SPF 30 protection and enough coverage to make my skin look even and healthy, but it still looks like my skin. It has this really fresh, lived-in glow, and their lip and cheek tint has become one of those products I keep throwing on throughout the day because it makes me look instantly more awake and put together in like 10 seconds. The whole vibe just feels very effortless. Skin first, clean girl beauty, products that enhance your skin. If you've been wanting your routine to feel lighter, simpler, and more natural this summer, definitely check out Primally Pure's Sun Serum and Lip and Cheek Tints.